A few years ago, the author of the Dr. Seuss children's books was invited to give a commencement address at a college. And he began his little speech with a humble note by saying, "It seems behooven upon me to bring forth great works of wisdom to these graduates as they leave the cloistered hallways before going out into the world." He said, "My wisdom today is in rather short supply. But I've managed," he said, "to condense everything I know into an epic poem consisting of 14 lines. And then he proceeded to recite his epic poem entitled, "My Uncle Terwilliger on the Art of Eating Popovers." My uncle ordered popovers from the restaurant's bill of fare. And then, when they were served, he regarded them with a penetrating stare. Then he spoke great words of wisdom as he sat them on the chair. "To eat these things," said my uncle, "you must exercise great care. You may swallow down what's solid, but you must spit out the air. And as you partake of the world's bill of fare, that's darned good advice to follow. Do a lot of spitting out of the hot air, and to be careful what you swallow." Now, 40 years earlier, Rudyard Kipling was 69 and living in the English countryside when a young, aspiring writer came to visit him to seek out advice for writing. And later on, the young writer said, after the visit, that time and time again, Kipling kept coming back to his theme. The individual person always must struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. He said, "To be your own person is always a hard, difficult business. And if you try it, you will be lonely some of the time. And other times you're going to be frightened. But no price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself." The individual, all through history, always must struggle to keep from being overwhelmed by the tribe. Like Dr. Seuss in his epic poem, Kipling was simply warning his young, aspiring writer friend to avoid being taken in by the purveyors of hot air of his own time. It was true then, and it is true now. It is a struggle today to keep from being brainwashed into conformity by so many false prophets around us. In fact, the evidence is mounting that hot air is in greater supply today than ever before in the world's history. And one reason for this is television. Hundreds of studies have been made, and based upon them, it has become evident the television today has become a dangerous influence on the values, the priorities, the beliefs, and the behavior of our young people. Our TV generation today is being confronted with a call to commitment. It's almost as if it were a religious commitment. An enormous tribe to use the words of Kipling, is behind the TV screen creating hot air out of every conceivable kind of mind-bending technique. The hot air is then delivered through the screen for the purpose of making believers out of those who listen and watch. No matter how subtle or not subtle, the bottom line of most commercials is a promise of fulfillment to the faithful who will buy the product, that they will arrive at happiness in this life if the product becomes part of their household. In the words of Dr. Seuss, don't swallow it. Columbia University professor of psychology, Dr. Baer, did an in-depth study of young people and concluded that misleading TV ads, to quote him, may be permanently distorting children's views of morality, society, and business, because they are ready to believe that just like the hypocritical advertising, everything else in the adult world, all of the institutions of the adult people are just as hypocritical as the advertising. This weekend, as our young people at each one of our three masses receive their first Holy Communion, they understand that it is a special occasion in their life. And I think it's important to dispense with empty pieties and realize that the good news that is given here each Lord's Day in the Eucharist could so easily be neutralized, totally neutralized, by the false values of the commercialism that they absorb during the rest of the days of the week. Holy Communion is more than bread broken and a cup passed among us. Eucharist is the Word of God to teach us the meaning and the direction of life, to help us grow into what we call the Easter season and all year, the Passover mystery, to learn how to die to selfishness, to learn how to grow in the life of the risen Lord given to us at baptism. And the Eucharist, Holy Communion, nourishes that life. But it is a seed that is planted, and if that seed once planted does not find the kind of good soil and nourishment whereby it can blossom and take root and yield a harvest, during the rest of the week it is going to die. The values from which the children learn are passed on to them in the homes all week long, hour by hour, from their parents. The Christian witness of the lives and the example of the parents is how children learn. No price is too high to pay for the privilege of owning yourself. That is the solid advice of Kipling. But to own themselves, our children must first know themselves, who they are. It is for the parents to help them to know themselves as the children of a gracious God who loves them, who alone has destined to give them authentic fulfillment in life, authentic happiness that comes only from dying to native selfishness and growing into the gracious life of the Father and the Son, to help them to discover the unselfish love of God that already is within them. It is for the parents to show that the unselfish love of God already is in the parents. And even if that would mean less television time and more of your time,
Remember the solid advice of Kipling, no price is too high to pay. That's what happened today to Thomas the Doubter. Thomas also was a victim in his own day of the barrage of hot air. The result was he could not swallow the solid advice that was given to him by the testimony of his apostles. When they said, "We have seen the Lord," we can imagine with only little imagination that Thomas had been victimized by the hot air tribes of his own time. And Thomas also, throughout history, then became known as a cynic, a skeptic. He would not believe unless he said, "I can touch the nail wounds. Unless I can put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, the Lord appeared and said, "Yes, Thomas, put your hand into my side and touch the nail marks. Now do you believe?" "Do not persist," he said, "in your unbelief, but believe. And blessed are those who have not seen, but still believe. Your children will believe if you show through your own faith that you believe. It is time for them, for underexposure, that the tribe of commercial exploitation and violence and overexposure to the community of parental unselfish love, to learn more about who they are and what their potential is. Children are watching you, their parents. And if they see the Lord's unselfish love within you, they will get a good picture of who they are and what they ought to become. And like Thomas, they will no longer doubt, but they will believe because they've discovered your love and your faith